Let no corrupt, that word means rotten, putrid, filthy, vile, words come out of your mouth except that which is good for edification, to build people up and give grace, the unmerited favor of God, to those who hear it.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again and welcome. You know, the power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. With the tongue, we can bless or we can speak lies. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others and accomplish tremendous tasks. Yet we take this ability for granted. In this next section of James, we see the importance of controlled speech and consequence of our words. Now, Pastor, with today's message, the power of words.
Let's turn in our Bibles to James. We're in chapter 3. And let me go ahead and read our text. I usually do that before we pray, but we needed to urgently go to the throne of grace this morning. He starts off on these 12 verses that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about the power of words. Say that with me, the power of words. Beginning there, he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Now, look at also the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, and wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile creature is tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." And the church says, amen. The power of words. I mean, when you think about the power of words, think about what God has done, for example. You know, the book of Hebrews teaches us, remember when we went through Hebrews, it says, in these last days, God has spoken unto us. All of mankind has spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. The spoken word of God. Did you know that right now we live, everything that you see, we live on a planet, we live in a universe that has been spoken into existence. Amen? The Lord commanded it and it stood still. God spoke and it was done. Words, the power of words. Listen, your words, whether you know it or not, they are very, very powerful, loved one. And we have to be careful. Think about this for a moment. You heard a word one day in your life. It could have been like me, for example. I heard a word that changed my entire eternal destiny. I heard someone on a beach say to me, "You look like you're looking for the truth." And I was. And I received Christ right there in my life. Scripture is John 8:32, you'll know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. Amen? So we know all of those things. So the power of the Word of God, every Word of God, is it alive? Is it powerful? See, we don't have to make the Word of God powerful. It already is powerful. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Boy, that's a true word. And this morning we have a good word. Remember, James, what's the purpose of James? What's the theme of James? You can talk to me. It's the second service. I love you more than the first. Tell me. See the power of words? You see what I mean? What is the theme? Five chapters that teach us to what? Grow up, spiritual maturity. And if you want to be challenged today, you're going to be challenged. How mature are you when it comes to the words that come out of your mouth? Because did you know James is very concerned in these five chapters about what comes out of our mouth? Because the tongue is mentioned, our speech is mentioned in every chapter in James. And so very, very important that we understand that. Think about how powerful words are. Can words or have words caused wars? Have words caused peace from the war? The power of words, unbelievable. I mean, people make promises, and it's words. People break promises. Boy, how important. I cannot tell you how many young people have and older people have stood before me up here on this platform, this stage, and they're coming up here to get married. And you know what they say one to another? They do their vows. They say words, death unto us part. Amen? They're very, very important. If you know anything about the United States military, remember that day, if you were a veteran, remember that day that we raised our hand, that first day, and we, you know, to support the Constitution and all the rest of the commander, and now you're in the Army. Remember that? How wonderful that was? Especially if it was in the 60s during, never mind. Now, with all of that being said, James is the half-brother, as you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew up in the same home as our Savior, okay? He watched, he observed, and he heard the Lord Jesus speaking. Now listen, and he never heard him say anything wrong. Jesus never said anything wrong. He never made an improper judgment. Do you understand? Everything he said was perfect. Jesus is the Son of God, the sinless Son of God. He never, ever sinned. Now, so he grew up with that. Maybe that's why James is so, boy, when it comes to the tongue, man, he is on fire here. Now, listen, the power of speech, would you say that's one of the greatest gifts ever given mankind? And at the same time, one of the most misused gifts, amen? Well, the things that we do with our tongue. You know, the Bible is, we're going to learn now this morning, that what comes out of our mouth can literally defile your entire body. Think about that. And it can also do something else. The words that come out of your mouth reveal what's in your heart. And we already know those things, but we're going to learn them in a greater detail this morning. Now, with all that being said, the Jewish rabbis, and the reason I'm saying the rabbis is because, remember, James is the first book of the New Testament, and it was written to Jewish believers, okay? Gentiles were just barely coming in the church at that time. Now, they taught that words, the power of words, the rabbis taught that the tongue was like an arrow. It was worse than just a sword. A sword can kill you right here, but words like an arrow, they travel a great distance. Do you follow me? Does a lie travel much faster than a truth? Boy, it sure does. And it says in Proverbs 25:18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, like you beat that guy to death with words. And he says, and you're like a sword and a sharp arrow that just keeps going way out there. It's like fires are set all over with those lies. So this morning we're going to look at three things, okay, concerning the power of words that we speak. Number one, words literally direct and control our life. Amen? They really do. Not only do they control it, they also, our words can destroy. Can we destroy other people with words? Oh, isn't that horrible? To destroy it with words. Or we can wound with words. Or we can bring life with words. And then we'll get to the third one at the very end. But let's begin this morning in verse 1. When James starts out and he says, my brethren, he's talking to Christians. Did you know that James uses brothers or beloved or my brethren 17 times in these five chapters? Well, he loves his people, okay? He says, my brethren, he says, listen, let not many of you become what? Teachers. He says, and here's the reason. Knowing that we, James includes himself, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know what that verse just taught me, teaches you, I hope? Did you know there's going to be different levels of rewards and different levels of degrees of judgment at the Bema Seat of Christ? That's amazing, isn't it? So James does something. He begins with a command, which literally reads, stop becoming teachers. And then he gives a strong warning because you're going to receive a stricter judgment. Now, what is he saying? Because whenever Jesus gave us the Great Commission, what did he tell us to do? Go into all the world, you know, preach the gospel, you know, and so forth. And all the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, right? Okay. And that word teaching there. So what is James talking about? What he's talking about is not many of you. He's talking to Jewish believers and us today. Not many of you, don't you become a self-appointed teacher. That's not how God does it, amen? No, in other words, a teacher, a pastor teacher, is one who is called by God. You don't call yourself to be a teacher. Does that make sense? Now, so that's what he's talking about there. It's a calling, and you don't call yourself. And Jesus has called, and he has gifted those, the Holy Spirit, as he wills, given certain gifts unto men. And of course, Jesus, it says in Ephesians 4:11 and following, that when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. And then it says, you know, prophets and evangelists and so forth. And then he says, and pastor teachers. And that's what I am. I am a pastor, but I'm also a teacher of the Word of God. And so James says, listen, to teach God's Word is a very, very serious thing, because you are going to be held to a stricter judgment, and you will give an account unto God at the Bema Seat of Christ, the place of rewards. Amen? Matter of fact, it says in Hebrews 13:17, it says this, obey those, talking to you, the sheep, it says, obey those who rule, that word means to lead, who lead over you, and be submissive, not submissive to the pastor, submissive to the word the pastor teaches. You know, God's word, amen? Amen? Now, he says, they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. And he goes on and says, let them do that with joy. I like that part, okay? So man, that scares me. Remember last Sunday, I didn't get to spend Saturday, that's my day, to spend it alone with the Lord and to prepare the manna for today, amen? Well, I didn't get to do that. And so the reason I was so upset is because I've got to stand up here and talk to you about eternal things, about the Word of God. And I don't want to lead, say, Bill, I didn't study that word enough, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm teaching something that's not true, or that might be true but a little off. See, I want to do my absolute best. When I stand before you, my conscience is clean. Man, I have done my absolute best to study, breaking down every word, Greek, Hebrew, whatever it might be, understanding all the pronouns, all the imperatives or the commands, and what the text actually means. Then I can get up and do my job. Because there is no greater calling to me on earth than to stand here in this pulpit and proclaim and teach, and God trusts me to do so, the eternal Word of God. Do you understand? There is nothing greater than that. Not teach my opinion, not teach what I think a verse means, not teach my favorite doctrine or any of those things, but to teach sound doctrine, which the word sound means healthy teaching. Teaching that makes you healthy, not sick. Amen? Not false teaching, but right teaching. In other words, not just part of the counsel of God, the entire or the whole counsel of God. Pastors, a pastor teacher, he speaks a lot of words, and he's going to be held accountable by God for that. That's why Paul told Timothy, listen, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent. That's a command. It means make every effort, Timothy, and every pastor teacher, make every to present yourself approved unto God. In other words, God's going to test what you say. Make every effort that you do it, and he approves what you're saying. Amen? And he says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, meaning not handling the word of God the right way, and now I'm ashamed before God. It says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know as well as I do that there are many today who wrongly divide the word of truth. Amen? They're false teachers. And they can create a doctrine out of one scripture, okay? That is bad. No, we want to rightly divide scripture. And so, people can read. See, when you teach God's word, reading into the text what is not really there will never help the believer. If you just give partially what it means. Let me give you a perfect example. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound, go on and on. Now, so somebody says, see, I don't have to be afraid of anything. Well, that's not what that scripture is saying. You see, because if you knew the Greek, then you know that the word fear there is not phobos. In other words, fear. No, that word, I think, I can't pronounce it, or I know how to spell it. It's kind of like, I think it's dileia or something like that. And it means cowardness. God has never given a believer a spirit of being a coward. So that's how you rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know what the truth actually says and so forth. And so, or you won't communicate its intention or the true meaning of it. Okay? So if you want to be a teacher and God's called you to be a teacher, remember this. Don't be a lazy pastor. You be a student of the word of God. Amen? And you work. It is work. He says, be a worker. It is work. And that way, when you stand before God and you say, Lord, I did my best. And he said, you sure did. Sure did. And that's all I want to hear. Amen? I don't want anything else. It's okay, Bill. You did it. Thank you, Lord. Whew, I made it. Now, so that's why he says here in verse 2, for we all stumble, he includes himself, we all stumble in many things. In other words, in regards to the power of the tongue or speech that comes out of our mouth. He says, but now if anyone does not stumble in word, in other words, if you don't offend other people with what comes out of your mouth, or if you don't say the wrong thing, he is a perfect man. Now that means a person who is spiritually mature, okay? And also he's able to do something. Able also to bridle the whole body. Man, listen, speech, what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of my mouth is a great revealer, okay? I mean, you listen to a person, you kind of know what they're about. Amen? Amen? Yeah, thank you. Sounds good anyway if you do that. No, so it's a great revealer. In other words, you can know by talking with a Christian for 10, 20 minutes, not perfectly, but you'll know maybe their level of spiritual maturity. Is that true? Absolutely, you will. And so, and then you can be around people and they're spiritually mature. You just got it. Now, so it's a great revealer. Your speech always it gives you away. Your voice gives you away. Did you know that? I mean, like when somebody says something to me and if I know who they are, I recognize the voice. I guarantee you, if my wife says something, I recognize hers. Let me give you a perfect example. When I was at a bank here in Fort Worth and I had to meet with the bank president, but with other pastors, and I had to show I was speaking for them, okay? And so as I was sharing with the bank president, we're out in the main lobby and just sitting at a desk, and all of a sudden a guy comes up behind me. He goes, love never fails. I know who you are. Your voice gave you away. And so he listens on the radio. See, the thing is that your voice is distinctive. It's a revealer, isn't it? In Matthew's gospel, chapter 26, I forget the verse, but remember the little girl who spoke unto Peter when he was warming himself by the fire? And she says, oh, your speech betrays you. Amen? I guarantee you, all of our speech, I can talk to some of you and I go, where are you from? You can kind of tell when a person's from Arkansas, or New Jersey, or New York. That's hard to talk like that. I'm just teasing. You just kind of know. It gives you away. The average person, they say, speaks 30,000 words a day. And I have met many who exceed that, okay? 30,000, that's a lot of words. I told the early service when I was a little boy, I kind of raised my little brother who's home with the Lord now, because he was 4 and a half, 5 years younger, whatever he was. And so he always wanted to hang out with me. And I was, I don't want you with me, man. I'm going with my buddies and we don't want your little kid holding, go stay home. Anyway, we were going to the movies. Now, if you're from Fort Worth and you grew up in the 50s, the early 50s, then you know that Poly was a very rough area. They had a theater over there that every time it was open, it was called the Varsity, and there was always fights. I mean, every night there was fist fights. It was horrible. It was a bad time. Well, anyway, my buddies and I, we were going over to the Varsity. So I finally let my little brother go. All right. And I told him, I said, don't you say one word. Don't you open your mouth. You stay with me the entire time. Do you understand me? Yes, Billy, I promise. So he says, we walk in, I pay for it. We're inside the theater, and I'm going to go sit down. My little brother goes, I need to go to the restroom. I said, okay, go ahead. I'll be sitting on these rows right here. And all my buddies, we were all there, you know. And so I had a guy. There's a group of men, or not guys, teenagers, behind me. And they came in a little later, and they started thumping me in the back of the head. And I'm going, you got a problem, man? He said, yeah. He said, who's this guy sitting beside you? I said, my little brother. He said, oh, well, he was in the bathroom just a minute ago, and he said that you can whip everybody in Poly. See, my little brother didn't know this scripture I'm getting ready to read. Proverbs 6:2. You are snared by the words of your mouth, and you are taken by the words of your mouth. And I can't tell you what they did to me after that movie. Now, look at verse 3. Indeed, we put bits, you know, small bits, in horses' mouths, and that they may obey us. And we turn the horse's body, we turn their whole body. Now, question, is a horse a powerful animal? Boy, they're powerful. So what do? James is giving us a metaphor. So you put a bridle on, you have a little bitty bit, you put it in the horse's mouth on top of their tongue, and then you're riding that horse, and he could stomp you, kick you, throw you. He's powerful, and yet with that, your reins and that bit in his mouth, can you turn the body of the horse any way you want to go? I can't. You know, if you ever go like these, you rent a horse, what's it called now? The stables, and you rent a horse to ride. Like we did that up in Colorado, you know, and you ride up and, man, listen, and you're up in the hills, and there, those horses are walking, there's about 10,000 feet dropped. They have a habit of running me into trees. You know what I'm saying? They brush me. They want me off. And I never could control them, you know. But James is giving this illustration right here. And so what is he saying? He's saying, okay, a little tiny bit you put in your mouth. And he says, your tongue is like that. He says, your tongue has power over your whole body too. And he says, and you can control it. He says, if you bridle your tongue, you won't make so many wrong decisions as you turn in life and the direction you go. It's like David said in Psalm 39:1. He says, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth. That word means I will bridle my mouth. And he says, and I'll muzzle it. That word means zip it up. Now, he uses another metaphor here in verse 4. James says, look at the ships, and think of the ships in James's time, okay? He says, look at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, storms, or whatnot, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So James now, he's comparing the tongue to a very small rudder, like it's on a ship. The ship is big and the rudder is very small, but that little tiny rudder that's at the back of the ship, the pilot can turn it, the ship, even though it's gigantic and the rudder's small, in any direction he wants to go. Are y'all with me? That really is an amazing comparison here. So he's saying, yeah, that little rudder has the power to direct. It has the power to control. It has the power to navigate wherever you want to go, even in the fierce winds or storms or whatever it is, wherever the pilot wants to go. Now listen, the power of words. Your tongue can navigate you into many different areas.
Well, there is much more to this message, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow for the conclusion to The Power of Words. Amen. We appreciate you spending part of your day with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.